Welcome to the Firm Report.
Hi, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Firm Report. Today, we have Jen Gore with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I love the setup you have here at MTMP.
Appreciate it. Definitely, we brought the show on the road.
Like a real legit studio here.
You gotta, you have to bring the game.
To the people.
To the people.
Yeah.
You have to bring the field and the players show up like yourself.
So. People thought you were over here reporting the news or sports in this suit you've got on.
Really?
Yeah, you. This is like a legit setup here.
Rumors that are out. I haven't heard that much. I've been tied to the desk here, I guess, reporting news or what's going on here at MTMP all day.
Yes, it's been great. You've had some pretty big people on this podcast today.
It's an honor.
So, hey, leaves me speechless, to be honest. It's quite amazing. And then now I have Jen Gore. So
yeah.
I appreciate you joining us. And so you're based out of Atlanta currently?
Yes, I'm in Atlanta and I'm originally from New York.
Okay. What area of New York?
I'm from a town called Poughkeepsie. So it's like an hour and a half north of Manhattan.
Uh-huh. And so you travel a bit to Manhattan?
Yeah. I mean, everybody that lives in that area goes to we call it the city.
Yeah.
So that's New York. And I went to law school in Atlanta, so that's what brought me to the South.
Really? What law school in Atlanta?
John Marshall Law School in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I went to night law school, and I was a paralegal during the day.
Really?
And I worked full-time, and I went year-round, and I graduated in like 3.5 years.
That's awesome. Awesome mm-hmm. story. And were you inspired by the firm that you, like, what drove you into getting into law?
So how I really was a business person at heart. I went to business school. I came from a family of entrepreneurs, and that was my passion. I probably would have never become a lawyer, but I was in a really bad car accident when I was 21 that I almost died.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you were in New York? Or?
Mm-hmm. I was in New York. I was in a very bad crash. And then, oddly enough, a year later, my boyfriend was in a motorcycle accident, and then he ultimately died.
Wow.
So, I had two experiences with dealing with the law mm-hmm. that had to do with accidents. And, it was a really bad process, just the whole situation. And I ended up getting a job as an executive assistant to a trial lawyer through my network. So it was like, I feel like sometimes like so many things happen that draw you to an industry.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'm going to become a lawyer.
Wow. I mean, those are impactful stories that brought you to where you are today. And I'm sure that having to deal with those things firsthand impacted the way that you treated your
clients in general. I wasn't dating my boyfriend at the time when he got in that wreck, but we had dated for many years right before it happened. And he was in a motorcycle accident and he had no helmet on. And it was, devastating, life-changing. And I decided like, hey, if I own a company and I can help people go through the process and make it more user friendly, that will mean something to me. And I did that for 12 years. I owned Atlanta Personal Injury Law Group. And, we were one of the fastest growing law firms in the US. I had about 40 people working there. And I had 3 kids during that time period. So, it was a very busy time.
I'd imagine so.
And then I started after COVID on the conference circuit. So I started going when kind of everything reopened. I started going to a lot of conferences in 24 and 23. I probably went to 25 conferences a year.
Wow. That's one every
two weeks. Yeah, it was pretty wild. But I was like learning and growing and getting to know all the people that are in our industry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and there's a lot of players that I would say show up at MTMP on a regular basis.
Yeah, this one was one of the conferences I went to later, I think there's a lot of people in the personal injury single event world that are not familiar with mass torts. It seems so obvious to us, but
it's a misconception, I think, too, because this show is not just about mass torts, and most of the players, the lawyers in these rooms, I would say, are probably some of the largest injury firms in the country.
Correct. And, you know, I didn't even know really what mass torts was until my friends were going to the conference, and I'm a lawyer doing personal injury in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And so then someone explained to me, okay, mass torts is these large, you know, injuries that occur to a large group of people, or it could be defective products or, you know, medical devices, drugs, sexual abuse cases that happen to a large group, where these litigations are created in the multi-district, you know, form, which many people that do PI work have never been exposed to that whole process.
Yeah.
But the thing that you should know if you do PI is most people are getting calls for mass tort cases if you own a regular run-of-the-mill PI firm.
Oh, definitely. And your past clients trust you, I would assume. So if they have a case or a situation, they're coming back and asking questions.
Yeah. So when Camp Lejeune happened, I mean, we got a lot of calls in Atlanta about that because we weren't that far away from it. And, you know, if you weren't in the mass torts world, you may not have been familiar with what to do with that case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, coming here, you learn, you know, what if you're not going to take on these cases, at least where you could refer them.
Definitely. And there's a lot of opportunities to just network. And we were talking about
meet the vendors, all the partners.
I would call him one of the low key greats in the industry, Daryl Ciambella. We both, you know him, but he inspired me to come here.
Really?
Yeah. He had said, "You think I'm, you know, one of the big guys?" He's like,
"Come to." Well, this is the event where everyone flies in their private plane, right?
Yeah, he did mention that.
The parties here are on another caliber.
Are they?
You act like you don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're at the fabulous Wynn Hotel, my favorite hotel.
Yep, here in Vegas. And you know, even Mike Papantonio brings in Eli Manning on the first night. And
did you get to see him?
Yeah, he was. He looked on TV. I always thought he was smaller because his body's a little smaller than the other guys on the field. But he was massive. He's a giant. His hands were...
I didn't get to see him because he was here on the first night and our flight got in right around that time. Usually they have that person the second night, you know?
Yeah. His hands were must make a football look like the size of a baseball. And he was the tallest guy in the room.
Yeah.
So he has the presence, and there's not many Super Bowl champion quarterbacks.
What did he talk about? Or did he not talk?
He didn't really talk.
He was just a meet and greet?
Yeah, he was a meet and greet, and you had the opportunity to...
take a picture.
You know, take a picture, shake his hand, and, you know, thank him for what he did.
I met Paris Hilton 2 years ago, I think. She was here. She was here for the mass torts she's involved with.
Huh.
And I was surprised they had her. I got a picture with her. Miranda Lambert was last year, I think.
Yep.
So they've had some great people at this event.
Yeah, this show is quite awesome. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, where your future is taking you. And it sounds like you're not far from potentially doing a show yourself.
Yeah. So I've had the privilege to be a part of a ton of different masterminds and coaching groups in the space. I've learned from truly some of the most successful people in the industry. I just would go and say, "Hey, can you mentor me and teach me this?" And I did that for many, many years. And I still have a lot of those mentors in the space. Mm-hmm. And over time, I had law firms coming to me and saying, "Hey, you know, I just want to get to your size firm. Uh-huh. You know, can you coach me? Can you help me? You just did this the last 5 years." And so I started taking on, you know, some of those requests and helping people scale their firm. And it's been really fun. I sold my law firm and now I have exited and, you know, fully launched my consulting business, which has been really exciting. It's, you know, I really thought I was going to probably do this full time in about 5 years and I'm doing it earlier than I expected, but, I'm really excited because, you know, most law firms, as you know, with what you do,
yeah,
they want to do more marketing. They're excited about marketing. But what I see when I audit a firm and what was the challenge in my firm was you need to have a world-class intake team. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say this, but just the average firm across America, they have a lot of holes in the bucket. They can pour more and more money into marketing, but if you don't shore up your intake, it's a nightmare. And so that's one of the things I specialize in. It's a passion of mine. We built an incredible intake machine, and I've revamped many law firms' intake machines. And it just is actually crazy to me as to how many law firms allow their phone to go to an answering like a machine, to voicemail, you know? How many law firms have random people in the firm answering leads, you know, like a paralegal who's not qualified to do an intake? How many law firms really fumble the follow-up on these leads?
Mm-hmm.
And you could really double or triple your firm pretty easily with some basic fundamentals.
And would you mind getting into some of those basic fundamentals? I know.
Absolutely. So number one, when your phone rings, you should have a dedicated new client line. Mm-hmm. You do not want all of your leads going into the same line that's being answered by the receptionist at the front desk. You should have a trackable line that goes into an intake software so that you as the owner can audit how many calls came in my new client line today. You should be auditing that every day. That number should API, which means when the phone rings, the lead should show up automatically on your intake dashboard so that it's not a manual entry. Most law firms you talk to, they have somebody taking a call, then they manually enter it into the system. That is not 2026. That's not the way of today. And there's human error. So many of those leads don't make it from the phone to the system. And I've seen fraud where people work in your firm and they are selling your multi-million dollar cases to your competitors. So if you don't have automation, you have a broken system.
So when you speak to automation and like the tools, there's...
You need dedicated intake software. So I'm not 100% married to which one it is, but most law firms have a CRM, but they don't have a dedicated intake software. So that software is meant to connect with your phone system. The leads automatically land on your dashboard. They say what source those leads came from. It could say web form, phone call, this ad, this SEO, this digital, whatever.
Yeah.
Sourcing your marketing so you know what you're doing and if it's working.
For sure.
And then you are basically having a chase sequence built in that intake software that does, like on my old system, the moment you would call our intake line, it would you would get a text from the firm that says, you know, thank you for contacting Atlanta Personal Injury Law Group. We wanted to make sure you connected with our team. You know, you may opt out, whatever. But creating a channel to make sure that the client knows how to get in contact if they get hung up on or whatever. If you were on that new client line, an intake agent is answering that phone. They are prepared and qualified to sign your case on that call. And they will send you digital documents through the intake software. You sign them. You can even sign them via text on your phone. And the whole system is meant to create ease through the process. If you're not converted, if you're an unconverted lead, there's then a chase sequence of how hey, we're trying to get a hold of you. We talked to you yesterday. That's all automated through the intake software. That plus backed up by some type of high level answering service, because you could have 10 agents in your intake team, but most people will have peak call times.
Yeah.
So you need to do a heat map of when your calls come in and staff accordingly. But every firm, no matter how large you are, is going to have peak times when you have volumes of calls, and you cannot staff your firm solely by in-house people. So you need to have a robust answering service that backs you up, preferably an answering service that can actually sign cases, which in this mass torts world and around here, there are a lot of great answering services that will actually, you can build out criteria that if this, this, and this, they'll sign the case. So that would be more of a state-of-the-art intake system. That's not what you see in most firms.
I would agree. You know, I'd be on the marketing side.
You know.
Yeah.
And then they come and they say, well, why is my marketing not working? Well, what I do very quickly is I just call their firm while they're standing there. And we painfully listen to their horrible intake. And then I say, do you have any other questions? Do you want to pour more money into this bucket until we fix it? And the intake is so easy to kind of like expose the weakness in that firm.
Yeah, and definitely I would agree with all of those things you're saying. I would say the evolution of AI and how that's positioning the ability to even audit.
So now
intake operations.
The new intake systems, this is a great point, will actually do like a summary of the intake call so that as the management and as the owner, you can go back and look, was this case properly qualified? I mean, I see a ton of firms where the lead agent will say, this was not a qualified lead. And then the AI will say, well, actually it was. Because it's human error. People make mistakes. They say, well, I didn't think we would take this case. Well, you can build it where the AI will actually flag your agents and say, which agents most often misqualify leads. And so that's also the other thing I would say at a really high level, most law firms are missing calls.
Missing calls.
Absolutely.
Entirely.
Because when you have a new client line, it's like the bat phone, right? If this phone rings, you need to answer it. What do you think is the number of rings a plaintiff calling PI firms is going to wait?
Not long. I would say 2 to 3. And then even the on hold time from the welcome, whatever, some of those lines have like a welcome message.
I mean, 3 is really the most I could see. Really, you have to decide your cadence of how long you let the line ring until it kicks over to an answering service. Because then it's got to ring there too, right?
That's true.
So what I see a lot of mistakes is they'll have it ring to Sally, then ring to Bill, then ring to this person. Next thing you know, the person's gone through 12 rings. They hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in 2026 is waiting 12 rings.
No, there's no way.
So if you have hangups, that's called abandoned calls. Mm-hmm. Abandoned calls is where you see a lot of lost leads because you don't even think to call them back. They never even really hit your radar. You never talk to the person. They hung up. But you can track in your phone system on a daily basis how many abandoned calls you have and how many missed calls you have. You should know that number as a firm owner or the person that runs an intake center, you know, part of a law firm.
Yeah.
Because abandoned and missed calls, if you close that gap, you could increase your revenue by 20%. No doubt.
Easy. I think it's way higher than that.
I like to be conservative in my preaching.
I get it because, yeah, you're consulting and you're positioning and you have to.
I remember there was a big player that I was friends with and I would call him all the time and I'd go, let's call your firm right now. This guy is spending over $100 million a year on marketing. We called. We were on hold for 8.5 minutes.
8.5 minutes. So that's.
We just kept getting routed and routed.
And
he
rerouted.
Hit the fire that was coming out of his ears.
I can't even imagine.
And listen, intake is not a thing that you can set and forget.
Yeah.
This is like conditioning and training. Like you have to be auditing and training and auditing and listening to your intake team because you can get it good and then it can crash.
Oh, I totally agree. And then the chase sequence. So, you know, I believe a lot of law firm owners believe that even some of our clients will tell you, oh, we convert at 90%+.
I got many questions for that.
Go ahead.
Number one, gold standard is 95%. So very few people are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I will ask people, okay, well, how many leads came in that day? Mm-hmm. They don't know. First of all, they don't know. Because most people are not looking at this obsessively. How many of those leads were qualified? Well, because they'll say, I signed 20 cases. And I'm like, well, was that good or bad? Well, it was, sounds about good. I said, well, how do you know? Well, I don't know. We had 20. This, like last year, we were doing 15. This sounds good. Well, you actually don't know unless you know how many qualified leads came in. So if you signed 20, but you had 21 qualified leads come in, you're pretty good. Mm-hmm. If you signed 20, but you had 40 come in that were qualified, you suck. You have a 50% conversion rate.
Yeah.
So I just find a lot of people, they're not thinking in data. They're kind of like operating off this like kind of emotional gut feeling about their firm. That's very inaccurate.
Yeah. And then when it comes to chase sequence, what is that? After the first call, after you have the stats of what you believe you're converting,
I think
chase is
80% of people are not doing more than a 2-day chase.
Uh-huh. A 2-day chase.
Maybe I'm being hard on them. I mean, I'm found time and time again, people don't chase long enough. I mean, you just got in a wreck. You just went through a major life event. You got someone calling you. You get busy, whatever. We as lawyers are unable to reach out and cold call people. So my view is once they call me, I'm calling till they say don't call anymore.
I would agree with that.
They've reached out
mm-hmm.
for you to give up on that lead just because you didn't. I mean, I've converted cases after 30 days. My chase sequence was always at least 30 days. Now, it should be very aggressive in the first 3 days, very aggressive. And then, you know, you can dial it to a more. But text, email, and phone, all three for the first 3 days, absolutely around, like, every day.
Uh-huh.
And after that, like, you know, there's many people, they just didn't get around to it. Think about us as busy professionals. How many of us like need to go to the dentist, but like you just forget, you know, it's like, oh, I got to schedule that.
Yeah.
I got to get my will redone. You know, it's like they just get busy and overwhelmed.
Definitely. And a consumer that's dealing with the
multiple
stress, like what do I do for work or my car's wrecked?
Medical.
Yeah. They don't even have the time to necessarily even go to the doctor.
Like, and they're thinking, I'll deal with a lawyer later.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to settle my case yet anyway. I'll deal with that. They don't realize that you need the lawyer right away.
Uh-huh. No, you do need the lawyer right away before you sign anything with the insurance company. And but that 3-day period. So, you know, essentially that
Stage 5 clinger status.
So what does that look like, though, on a frequency basis? Or?
I mean, you can build it out in your intake software that it's an automatic text. You don't want it to be too robotic, but it's like, hey, following back up with you, you know, I like to also do like a personal call where it's like, hey, I mentioned a fact about their case. I know you were in a rear end collision. This must be stressful. I understand you're busy. I want to follow up with you because I know how important it is for you to get the help you need. And I know you're probably swamped.
So you would actually have a little bit of details about their case or what
I think it goes farther in this automated world where it's like it feels very robotic.
Uh-huh.
I think if you incorporate some facts that show you read the file or the intake, it's more personal.
Uh-huh. And I mean, with the volume, so you had 40 people on staff at your firm when you hit your peak?
Yeah. And then, you know, at Sweet James, we had 500 people at the firm that I sold to. And we had a pretty decent size intake team. But a lot of the intake agents are communicating via text, you know, through the software. So you can take a minute, read the the file, the intake, this person was in a catastrophic accident, and say, hey, I know you were in a really bad wreck. I'm looking at your file. I know you didn't get to sign the contract yesterday. I want to make sure that I bring this back up and make sure, you know, we're here standing by to help you, you know? And, you know, there are some people that just take longer to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But my feeling when I train my intake teams is always like every answer other than yes is just an objection.
Interesting.
Like, oh, I have to talk to my wife. Okay. So can you get them right now? You know, it's like you have to kind of move the barriers out of people's way. Because I always knew if they don't hire a lawyer, likely they're going to be in a bad spot. So I feel like sales is helping people to get the needs met that they have, that they don't realize how crucial it is. You as a salesperson, the intake agent has to like help them see that they're going to be in a bad way if they don't get legal representation.
Yeah, it's everything you're saying. There's so much truth to it. And it's, how many firms would you say that like a potential plaintiff is talking to sometimes when they would call your firm? Is it?
Let me abate everyone's concerns. If you build the world-class intake system that I have designed and talk about, it truly does not matter how many firms are talking to, because most law firms' intake is so horrible that if you're in that 5% where you have a great system, you're just going to outpace and win over other people time and time again. And so I think like people really think their competition is so dialed in, but that's not what I've seen. And I've never focused on my competition. I've always just focused on making my thing the best that I could do. I don't focus on, because I promise you, call 10 law firms. You will be shocked. My friend had a need for a lawyer the other day, not in personal injury, in another practice area.
Yeah.
I went on ChatGPT. I looked for what's the best. I mean, I called 3 firms. The intake was horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just disqualified them based on their intake.
That could easily be done. Definitely.
I mean, the one thing said, just leave us a message and we'll see if we can help you. The other one said, you called and the paralegal said, we don't know if we're taking on any new cases right now. I mean, it's so bad. It's so bad that if you're just in the, if you built something pretty decent, you're in the 5%.
I would agree. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, because you, I listen to numerous calls or we try to figure out
what's going on.
What's going on? Or like, you know, we hear it all the time. Or even I would say as a marketer and, you know, hearing the distress of an individual when they call the law firms, sometimes it's a, you know, situation of almost like pure lack of, like, there's
no empathy. So now on
Mother
Zoom,
Mother 3 took the word out of my mouth.
On Zoom phones, you can now get empathy scores for all of your staff.
Really?
And that's a game changer, because when you see the empathy scores, they're horrible.
Really?
I listen to a call. It will flag you and say, this person has a horrible empathy score. This guy, the funniest call I ever listened to. It's not funny because it's horrible for the client, but it's funny because you just can't believe it's real.
Mm-hmm.
He says to the agent, I was in a horrible crash. I broke my back. I broke my femur. I was, you know, I mean, he's describing horrible injuries.
Yeah.
And she just is reading through the script and she goes, so did you get there by ambulance or did you drive yourself?
Doesn't even like hear him, basically. It's not listening to the call.
The guy got so mad. He literally said, how could I have gotten to the hospital driving myself with a broken back and a broken leg?
That's wild.
But she was robotic.
Yeah.
So you need people. I used to say, like, with empathy, you got to stop and say, oh my God, that sounds horrible. How are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like you need to have these like validation words
For yeah, definitely. And they need to be listening for those trigger words. And even I'm sure there's tools that can be programmed now to even.
I mean, you have to be a person that. Oh, I'm so you're alive after all of that. Like, you've got to have the sales voice.
Oh, for sure. And you got to be able to communicate outside of the script.
You can't be robotic.
You can't be robotic. And I say to my team, I'm like, if I was a lawyer, I'd hire social workers to answer the phone. And that would be my intake team. Because a lot of, I would say, the plaintiffs that are calling these firms, they don't necessarily have somebody that they could be speaking to.
It's like part therapist.
Yeah,
so the empathy is really bad. I've seen a lot of people, they'll describe something horrible, like, I was in a bad wreck and this and that. And then the person will go, and what's your email address? You know, It's like wrong timing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to pivot off script if the client's going in a certain direction.
Yeah, definitely. They have to be listening and engaging in the conversation.
Now, I will say, I do think that intake people get fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard role to maintain that heightened empathy all the time.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, people have to be constantly trained, constantly reminded of, you get desensitized.
I can only imagine so. And there's a lot of calls at some of the, you know, firms in general, you know, and the more major of an advertiser, you can get into triple
hundreds of calls
a day. So it's a person answering the phone and hearing all types of stories, because I do say, from a marketer's side, I'm not a lawyer, but if you have a quote unquote great case, it's going to be tough to listen to what happened, I believe, because you have to have empathy, you have to have patience. And when somebody's severely injured, that's going to be
it can be emotionally draining.
I can only imagine so.
People have to do a lot of self-care when you work in the end. It's kind of like what I would consider like the 911 operators, you know? It's crisis management in some ways, especially the more catastrophic cases.
That's when it gets to catastrophic cases and major injuries in general. The intake has to be, it's difficult. And even to work the case, I'd imagine, just complexity.
You made me just think of one extra point. You do not want to handle catastrophic cases on intake the same as your run-of-the-mill car crash. If someone calls and they say, my family member died in an accident, you're typically not going to sign those people just on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people are often looking to interview multiple firms. They may be in the hospital. I've signed people up like at their homes where they wanted to meet the team that was going to litigate the case. You know, when you're dealing with death cases or things like that, you have to advise your intake team that they need a totally different intake sequence for those types of cases, or you will lose all of those cases.
Wow. Lose all of those cases.
I mean, very few will you be able to just, you know, quickly sign. First of all, those cases are more complex because who has the right to bring the claim? Mm-hmm. You know, you may not be talking to the right party if it's a death case, but also just the sensitive nature of somebody's calling you from a hospital bed that they have a broken back, they may never walk again. Like, just pushing them to sign, I think, is not always the right. It's like, hey, I want to come meet you. I want you to understand who you're working with. Like, I just think there needs to be a more of a white glove approach to those type of cases.
Oh, definitely. I would definitely agree on that. And, you know, so mother of three.
Yeah.
Operating a business for 12 plus years, and now you're going into a new evolution. You want to talk a little bit to the new evolution?
Yeah, so like we've been talking today, this is like my favorite topic to talk about.
Is intake and marketing?
Love marketing, love intake. I love finance, forecasting models for your firm, understanding how cash flow works, how people hit their metrics, hiring, leadership, recruiting, all of these different things are what makes a law business tick.
Uh-huh.
I started doing this, and I just started it in 2023 as like a kind of hobby.
Okay.
Because my friends would be like, Jen, you're always coaching people on their business. Like, you should do this real. And then I had a couple people come ask me, you know, will you coach me and help me grow my law firm? They were in another market. So I said, okay. And then they started having like really, like their firms were growing, taking off. And then they would call me and they'd be like, Jen, you changed my life. And I was like, this is really fun. I want to do this more. Mm-hmm. And so I started hosting an annual business plan workshop in Atlanta in January.
Okay.
So people come to Atlanta, 2 days. You bring your business plan for the year.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't know or they don't have a business plan. And we help, I help teach how to do that. A business plan does not have to be complex. It could be on a sheet of paper, a napkin, we could write it. But it has to be thought out. Mm-hmm. And then they pitch their plan. And then I sit there with my other firms that are there, and we kind of like poke all the holes in their plan.
Okay.
So like, okay, you're saying you're going to do this volume with this marketing. Mm-hmm. I don't see how it's possible.
So you break it down.
Yeah. So, or they'll say, I need to hire 5 more lawyers. And then we'll, a lot of it is math. I'll stand up there on the whiteboard and I'll go, you want to do this revenue with this average case value, this many calls. It's a reverse engineer, right? Uh-huh. And a lot of people get the engineering and the planning wrong. They either wildly overestimate what they have to do or they wildly underestimate what they have to do. So we'll literally do the math. You tell me you want a $5 million firm. I can tell you exactly how many cases you're going to have to sign based on your average fee.
Yeah.
Pre-lit, lit, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And then we need to reverse engineer how many leads you need to get that many conversions. And we have to have them in a specific time frame to be able to resolve this year. It's just math.
Definitely.
And that's what we do. And that became like a really popular event. And people were like, oh my God, I hit everything on my business plan. And so, you know, we're going to be coming up with more and more fun things like that. I started coaching a bunch of women law firms.
Okay.
So I have a group coaching call for women law firms, and the interesting topics that come out of that, a lot of women, you know, struggle with different things, and having that kind of community where everyone's going through the same thing, it's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just, it's truly, I'm living my best life where you get, I get to get up every day and pretty much do the work I want to do, talk to entrepreneurial lawyers all day and travel wherever I want to go. So
sounds amazing.
It's pretty fun. It's been pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Jen, I have to ask, so what is your secret to driving your results when it comes to either your personal, your business life, or just the pure balance? How do you do it?
I'm a get things done person. Mm-hmm. I think everybody, I love that you're focused on results, because everybody talks, but at the end of the day, it's results. And you might try something, and I've had things that I wanted to get done, you know, and I wasn't able to get it done. And I came back the next year and I got it done. And at the end of the day, all that matters is you get it done.
Yeah.
Like, get it done mentality. I don't take care. Like, sometimes it's going to take you an extra quarter.
Yeah.
But don't quit just because you didn't get it in the short time that you, I feel like a lot of us, like, over, what's the quote? You overestimate what you can do in a year, but you underestimate what you can do in 5 years. So people like, oh, I didn't get my goal, you know, right away. And then they quit. Or it's like, just push it out a quarter. You're going to get it done eventually. And I think it's good to celebrate when you actually do get things done, and take the moment to like savor that, because getting something over the line, even if it takes you longer than you expected.
It's the reflection on the journey.
Yes, it's the journey. And like, I don't know about you, but I've been saying a lot of the same things for a long time. But until I had results, people didn't really take you seriously, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It takes persistence, and it takes work.
And you got to believe in things that you don't have any proof of.
Uh-huh.
you got to be wild enough to believe in stuff that you have no results on.
Yep.
Until you have the results.
Exactly. And sometimes you have to take a step back to take steps forward.
Yeah.
And you have to evaluate and poke holes, which makes some people uncomfortable and
willing to be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Oh, I've been wrong before, and, you know, it happens. But at the same time, too, if you're brought in to solve a challenge or a problem, you're not going to solve it by going back to what you were doing that got you into the problem.
Correct.
In the first place.
The mindset that got you here is usually not the mindset that's going to fix it. But that's why I love, like, results. It's the scoreboard. But for me, in my personal life, we have to believe in things that we have no proof of.
Uh-huh.
You know? That's why I think it's so important to hang out with people that have the results you want.
Definitely.
Because they inspire you.
That's important of, like, the masterminds and the groups and being in the rooms. Like, being in the room here at MTMP.
Exactly.
It's inspirational to be around, yeah, the other professionals and learn from them.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Well, Jen, I definitely appreciate you making the time. And if people want to find you, I know Jen Gore on Instagram.
Yes.
You can be found
me
there.
Yep. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jen Gore Lawyer on IG, and Evergreen Business Coaching is my company name. Our website is evergreenbizcoaching.com. And love to have you come chat with me. I do like 15-minute just check in, and we chat for a minute and even see like if I can help you. But yeah, this is just so fun, and I'm so grateful to get to do this.
Awesome. Well, definitely appreciate you joining us on the Firm Report today. And thank you to our listeners and viewers. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
The Firm Report, brought to you by Exults, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights.